This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his home office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks. I'm sitting here in the swampland that is my yard.
Rain and humidity this week, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's lovely. Lovely. But look, I'm not complaining. August is relatively cool, which is the way I've said before, us fat boys like it.
Well, let's talk about some new jobless performance numbers that were posted yesterday at talkbusiness.net. What do they tell us?
Well, they tell us it's good news. If you're looking for a little bit of a bright spot in the jobs and the economy picture, this is kind of it. It reaffirms what we saw in the statewide jobless report, that those significant job losses that we saw back in March and April, we're starting to recover from that. The state still has around 100,000, this according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. The state still has about 100,000 fewer people employed than it did this time last year, but that's improving. Now, this metro jobs data shows that all of the metro areas interconnected to the state, with the exception of one, which is Memphis, West Memphis, had an improvement, or if not a significant improvement, in the jobless rate. For example, Northwest Arkansas, jobless rate improved from 6.4% in June to 5.7% in July. Fort Smith improved, it was a slight improvement in Fort Smith from 7.4% in June to 7.2% in July. Of course, when you look back at July 2019, for example, the Northwest Arkansas jobless rate was 3% compared to the 5.7% now. So it's still... it's still not pretty, but it's not as ugly as it was. One interesting thing, and I'll move on from this, is that these metro numbers still tell us that of the in-state metro regions, for example, we have two that are, we have Texarkana and the Memphis, West Memphis, that are connected to other states. And I guess to some extent Fort Smith is,
sure,
but most of it's in Arkansas. But of Central Arkansas, Fort Smith, and Northwest Arkansas, those three regions combined for 61.1% of all the job losses in the state during July. Mm. I think that gives you an idea of how urban the jobs are. We've written a Talk Business before, even editorialized on it, about the growing divide between jobs in rural and metro areas. And this provides a very clear example.
Tourism has taken, understandably, a hit during the pandemic. What had been a run of record-setting years for tourism in Arkansas is likely going to be broken.
Broken is a nice term for it. It definitely hit a wall. The state's 2% tourism tax is down 30.4% between January and June. That had been setting records every year. Set another record in 2019. The January through June hospitality tax collections in the 17 cities we surveyed for the tourism sector fell almost 22%. The tourism industry jobs. We talked to Monty McNulty. She's CEO of Arkansas Hospitality Association. She says that the losses, those hospitality tax collections in the cities, were deeper. But the quick service restaurant, franchise restaurants, you know, McDonald's, Starbucks, all of that,
right,
kind of kept it going. She says it's those, quote, independent homegrown restaurants that are closing and are at most risk. And she says it's going to take what she calls swift help from state and federal governments to make sure that they survive, that we don't come out of this pandemic. And the only place you can go to is, you know, McDonald's or Applebee's.
Right. This is so important because this is such had been such a growing part of Arkansas's economy. So to take more than 30% drop, those ripples will go far and wide in Arkansas.
Yeah, and I think if you look even further downstream, you look at who's employed by this industry, that's not the most secure employment out there. If a manufacturing operation or a large insurance company or some major corporation has to furlough or lay off people, it's likely that there's some severance or some benefits or something along with that.
Right.
You lose a job at a restaurant or, you know, at Bob's Kayak Service or whatever, you're probably on your own. Mm. And so that's kind of a double whammy I've talked to some other economists, and no one is optimistic about this improving until there is a proven vaccine, not a political vaccine, but a proven vaccine and good therapeutics, not just a vaccine, but good therapeutics to better treat those who continue to be infected. So, yeah, and this is, but as you said, it was the state's largest, second largest industry behind agriculture, and it's just taking a hit.
All right, let's move on. Golf is an outdoor game. I didn't realize that a problem with a roof could be a roadblock to buying a golf club, a country club, but that's what's developed with Fiona Hills?
Yes, Fiona Hills Golf Club, Fiona Hills Country Club and the golf course, it's been closed since December 31st, 2018. The owner, David Millay, closed it. And we reported a couple months ago, I think it was, that there's a local investor group trying to buy it. But those, as you said, those negotiations have hit a wall during the course of the due diligence. I talked to Pete Charlton. He's leading this group of residents, about 60, he says. And during due diligence, they found that they found several issues. So the roof isn't just it, but it's a big part of it, that during some previous hailstorms that the damage was repaired by what he said, just some storm chaser who didn't know what they're doing. And so it's going to take anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 to go in and fix the roof. They had offered, they had a kind of an offer and acceptance with Millay to sell, to buy the club, I should say, for $1.1 million. But then if you have to turn back around and you discover that, you know, you've got several hundred thousand dollars to put in a roof, and then there were some other things. So they went back to David Millay and wanted a little more time. They were supposed to close on September 15th. They wanted a little more time to figure out what they wanted to do. Long story short, Millay really was not interested in extending that closing date without a significant non-refundable deposit, about $100,000. So that original offer to buy the club has been removed and pulled back. So there's no offer to buy the club. It's technically, as Pete Charlton said, it's technically dead as a doornail. But they're continuing to meet. I think Pete said there are some among the group who said, let's keep pushing. Let's see if we can't find some way to negotiate out of this. The bottom line, Kyle, is that a lot of people want the club to open again. There are roughly 178 homes that immediately surround the course, but there are several hundred more that are near it. And also, they all have some property value interest in that being an active club and golf course. So there are some meetings this week. I don't know if Pete, Mr. Charlton will talk to me about what those meetings decided to do from those meetings. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll have some follow-up reporting on this next week.
All right. And finally, as you surmised, the outdoor entertainment districts in Fort Smith are now permanent, not just temporary.
Yes. So, yeah, you bring some of that Ozark lager down, and we can just walk and drink at the same time.
No. You can't bring your own. You got to go into
I
the...
That's true. But, yeah, so there are entertainment districts, permanent entertainment districts in downtown Fort Smith and in a certain area, Chaffee Crossing, not obviously not the whole area, but a small area. And so, and also in Fort Smith, there's what's called a temporary entertainment district. It's larger than the permanent district. That allows for like the Steel Horse Rally. So you could have a temporary entertainment district built around an event. So this is interesting. There's been a lot of people pushing this since the state law was changed in early 2019. Again, as we said, if we can get COVID behind us, I suspect Fort Smith and a lot of the other cities that have these kind of districts will see a lot more use of them. I remember 1,000 years ago when I was in the Navy in downtown Chicago, they would just block off whole districts and you could just walk from bar to bar with a cup and everybody, you know, gave themselves and it was a great atmosphere, and hopefully that can kind of be recreated in downtown Fort Smith.
Yes, but fortunately, we don't have Lake Michigan in Januarys like they do in Chicago. I can't imagine walking around outside.
Well, I'll tell you how smart I am. I showed up for boot camp in Great Lakes, Chicago in January. So don't do that. If anybody's thinking about joining the Navy, don't do it in January.
Noted. Yeah. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about all of this except for the advice of how not to join the Navy or when not to join the Navy. Right. Everything else.
Yeah, when not.
It's at talkbusiness.net. Hey, Michael, have a happy Labor Day. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.